being just in one.
Okay, we've got a proposal. Can we get a second number? Councilor Ron. Okay, item six, Sunbury Lake Project, John.
John, the group obviously presented to the council, John, in the last meeting before, in relation to the project to regenerate the Sunbury Lake, the boat trail. The recommendation there is that the council continue to support the Heritage Lottery application that may come in by way of providing additional letters of support, John, and that the trust then work with the council's program unit, John, in terms of an application for financial assistance, John, as well as a whole process for applicants, third party applicants, John.
Councilor Jim.
Thanks, Gerard. Do you know, John, why it's turned down? Through the Heritage Lottery, how did they feel? They had the lease agreement and they had letters of support and
Chairman, so we weren't directly involved in the application, we haven't got direct feedback. We do know that they're reworking the application, going back in again, we're getting support to say that this one wouldn't be familiar with all of the reasons why it wasn't successful initially, Chairman.
I'm just looking at your paper, sir, where it says the lease has been extended until March 2018, which isn't a hell of a lot. Maybe is the lease agreement part of the downfall that, you know, the Heritage Valley would think that they're not serious about actually getting the job done on site?
Well, so it's not really that the lease agreement was the for the lady boat to come in and could do the initial work.
Yeah, I know there's a cover over there.
Well, we have given a letter of support to say that we are committed to the project moving forward. So they understand that the reason why the outline application went in initially, the council can't commit to that boat staying there forever and a day. So to give them the opportunity to make the application. If that's successful, then we'd move on and extend that lease. But that's all reflected in the detail that would have went to HLF at the application stage.
And in the absence of funding from Heritage Lottery, I know our council are trying to supplement some of our funding applications. Have they started any work themselves? Have they been able to generate any income themselves and start some work on it? Do we know? Or are they just sitting waiting on a lot of grant or council?
Chairman, well, the applicant, well, they're looking at other sources of funding, Chairman. We're not aware of how to secure any other additional sources at this stage, but this is really to get them to the stage where they can work up the application in a lot more detail. They will have to tie their source or other sources of funding, Chairman. But we're not aware of that. We will be able to come out yet.
Thanks, Chair.
Chair, just also for members' information, our UDA officer has been working actively with the group as well, just to look at how they can get assistance through our financial assistance voluntary contribution route. So, and that work remains ongoing, and indeed, that officer has met with them on with HLF as well, and we continue to support them in that manner.
Thank you.
Councillor. Just on that, Chair. All the people that know this project contacted me this morning, and I think they were in a misunderstanding. So that's just speak to you about it. Could you make it clear to them exactly what the council's proposing to do? Because I actually read the recommendation from him there, and he wasn't that happy about it. He said, look, I understand the way the thing works, but I don't think they understand. They thought that we were going to be equal funding, max funding almost, to what they would get anywhere else, which we could never do.
No, Chair, we don't have the facilities within our budget to fund the project in that manner, but we certainly can work with them through a voluntary contribution and financial assistance model to help them. We have, as I said, to the DEA officer has met with them on a number of occasions, so we will speak to them again, just.
That's okay.
Yeah, to recall, I mean, I do think that when we discussed them, we asked them to bring forward, you know, ideas that are enhanced, you know, what we are saying in terms of the council strategy, you know, going forward and doing a tourist attraction, and, you know, maybe some sort of a sailing experience for young people in that side of the hall. And I think that's what we had to get back to, you know, as councillors. Unless they bring something that forward, in my opinion, you know, I don't think it's going to build sustainable enough project that there is a lot of funding that they have, we'll be able to come in and track it. You know, we have a boat just built to say that we're sitting there doing nothing. You know, I think that's what I would call it, that's what type of plan I think we have to do. And board. And nobody alluded to something like that from this week.
It's something said, if I remember what something said themselves about what happened at schools, but I don't remember any proposal from them. Anybody on the house, but it's something they didn't say themselves.
Yeah, we need more detail in them. But again, I think what we're doing there is certainly we're trying our best to help them out in this year, and that's a good issue.
Okay. Yeah, sure, a couple of things. Just the letter of support, but as I understand, they were offered Harry's Lottery, but I think it's depending on that and the mass funding, and I think the group are looking to the council to make that deficit. And he hasn't seen the letter of support that the council sent him himself. It wasn't exactly resounding as maybe have a look at that again, because it was, sort of reference you get for somebody for a job where it says, yeah, John worked here from this to that, to exactly still the virtue of the project. I wouldn't maybe have another look at that. I think it was the group are saying that the voluntary contributions model does not fit with what they're looking in terms of high scale and the volume. And I think what the group have said, as I understand what they're saying, they're looking at 100,000 for 5 years, 20,000 a year from the council to go back to the lottery on what the match on that. So as I understand what they're saying, they're looking at a decision from us to say either we're prepared to do that or not. And I think I get the impression of saying that if it is a no, they'd rather have a no, a short, quick no, rather than a long no. So if we're not going to do it, I think at least we should go back and tell them that we're not, that's done something we're not prepared to do. Thanks, Chair.
Sure. As a reference for the EA, I also did actually meet with the HRF and the project promoters, and the DEA officer. The HRF were very complimentary of Mary Morton down to Mr. Council, because we have a voluntary contribution financial assistance programme available for groups like that to provide funding. And I think if we can continue to try to work with them from a voluntary contributions perspective, hopefully we will be able to assist them. We don't have the money within our budget to just support projects in that manner, so it would have to be through that route. So whilst it would be a no from a direct point of view, it would be that we would continue to work with them in relation to the financial assistance. And HLF, I believe, were saying that is a method that we could ultimately all work together on.
Sure, thanks for being there. And again, just looking at something Gary said, that actually had been awarded her this lottery funding, but because there was no backup funding from our council, that the whole scheme fell apart. I mean, I was not aware of that information. Just need to clarify that. They either got an award or were turned down for the award. Which was it, John?
Sure, they haven't made, I don't believe they've made it past the stage one applications for Heritage Lottery. I think what any funding or other funding organisation would say is that it is obviously to a body's benefit to have a letter saying that we would be the match funder, obviously because we're a key funder, but they certainly didn't indicate that it was turned down because of us not providing that direct match funding.
That's all.
Chair, I'm not going to propose that we accept the recommendation. But just on what Gary said, if they apply every year the £20,000 and don't, only we can guarantee them that they will get the £20,000 every year.
Chair, if members know how we work with financial assistance, we can't provide any guarantees, but we certainly would work with the group to meet the requirements of the funding application. And that's the role of the DEA officers to say that all of the
the I think there's a little bit of confusion, so there's what's happening.
Sorry.
Just wondering, do we charge them when they get to the courtyard?
No, Charlie, there's no charge.
No charge.
Can I get a second one for the recommendations? Second, yeah, for the recommendations.
Yeah,
and just for the point from Councillor Stokes, can we ensure that there's a strong letter of support for the additional for the funding? Okay, moving on to item 7, High Speed Train Feasibility Study.
Sure, I'm just going to take this in the absence of Liam, who's just had another meeting. There has been a proposal regarding the introduction or the feasibility of a high speed train service between Belfast and Dublin. You have the information in front of you. What I would say is that this would have been confirmed from Louth County Council, Single County Council, Dublin Council and Belfast. So we're asking to also support up to a maximum cost of £15,000. We can take that from the development costs of our in our economic development budget.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm not exciting. I hope this has been a thing we're going to invest in. I like to think it's not just something that's fire in the sky, that we're actually but like I saw the report this morning, maybe might see the light of day in 10 years, hopefully. I know certainly, Chair, something that I asked the council back earlier this year or late last year, that there was a consultation from Inroad Éireann in relation to, you know, its commuter times, commuter line into Dublin. And I asked that it included within that a right up seniority as a commuter time into Dublin, which it is. I'm not sure you can get some personal experience with maybe until your acquaintances will work at Dublin and travel every day. Dublin as a standalone is booming, but the fact is you can't afford to live in Dublin at the moment. So a lot of people working have no choice but to work there. And as much as we like all those jobs in your area, the fact is the longer we have to take to get work. If there's opportunities for our young people to work in Dublin, then all the better that they can get there as quickly as possible and get home as quickly as possible. And Mr. Chair, certainly I would propose we follow through with Chair.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, certainly, sir. Sure, just on the nation, maybe on our connect to STEM. I presume, first of all, is there a time, an increase during time? What is that? Is there any idea what that potential could be? Is it just directly between Dublin and Belfast, or are they potentially stopping at the main, in other words, maybe the Port of Downs and Uri and Drogheda? What is that?
I suppose, Chair, this will be a separate rail line to the existing Dublin Belfast rail line proposed, obviously. And what they're looking at is pre-feasibility to that suggestion. It wouldn't certainly be indicating it wouldn't be any faster if it stopped in all of the various different locations. So I suppose. What we're trying, I wouldn't be able to go to them right now and stop in various stations, but anyway, what we're trying to do is ensure that Newry becomes one of those key points of stopping, so we get involved in the early stages in the pre-feasibility, which presents the stronger argument that Newry should be one of the only stopping points along that route into Dublin, which would be high speed and would be a significantly faster journey than currently exists.
Well, that was across me. I wanted to make sure that one commits on that Yuri wasn't the benefit of it, So, okay,
thank you for that.
Thank you, Chair. I'd be supportive of it as well, but I think we should probably say something to them about even the current timetable. If you go from here to Dublin, you get to Dublin at 9:15, and the train leaves are at 4:25. It is not, so no matter how fast it goes, if the timetable isn't right, And we have asked Northern Ireland Rail or whoever in the past to take a look at the timetables. But it is not conducive to easy travel to Dublin if you're going to work. And that's a simple thing. It could speed the whole thing up an awful lot without all the feasibility studies. I would welcome the proposal. It's a joke as well.
Thank you.
Just one of the feasibility studies and check if this ball would be there to use it and if it is sustainable.
Yeah, it's sure it's my Sure. What it will do is pre-feasibility, we'll be looking at whether a concept of a high speed rail would work, and that will look at population growth, etc., and just the idea of where potentially that type of risk would go to.
A wee bit of earlier, I'm a bit concerned about this. We're just going to be another feasibility study to study the name put in a box and then bring down in 10 years' time and say we're ready to go, we'll have to do it again. For after feasibility, after feasibility study, that's what we get. But unlike Michael, as you see, NI Rail and Rail Service in and around Dublin got their act together, you can speed it up a lot more because from link to link, it isn't adding up. And I would agree with Michael on that. And I'll tell you, I'm a bit wary about supporting that. We'll think about it.
Chair, this pre-feasibility study, as I say, it's the price of adding from Dublin City Council Live, Fingal, Belfast, and hopefully ourselves. So it would not be the intention to do a feasibility study and forget about it.
Well, that's for the young people from Newry to be able to manage all four of them in Dublin or Belfast. A bit restless. We have one of the first road infrastructures and maintenance programs of our roads in the north of Ireland, if not further afield. So it would be great to have a high speed sailing if you could get there in any part.
Sure, just a question. Providing this does happen, I'm slightly concerned for Brian's is
right,
the argument is going to be upgrading the railway station in there because there would not be sufficient parking afterwards, a lot more people travelling in the park the cars to have it better.
Sure, I suggest we'll leave it for me answering that question. So, but I've already mentioned it to the people that were doing pre-feasibility.
Okay, no more questions. Just before I get on to the segment, yeah, I think it's a great idea, and in the future I'd love to see something like this up and going from the Hunton goes to walk at half one on, like on Sunday in Clark. And all you have to do is look at the amount of people going on the private buses from the Matthews buses. Hundreds of people from the private bus in the morning, and the travel time down to Dublin for people walking in there, it's scandalous. You know, the sport companies walking in there, so it's something I'd like to see in the years coming. In the coming years. Can I get a second up? Did we get a proposal? Okay, item 8, the tourism events program, and that is Andy.
Yeah, Chair, the paper sets out our events plan for the 2018-19 financial year. It follows a very successful events program this year. We welcomed 265 visitors in January that collected an economic impact for the district. The paper was presented to members of the workshop last Monday. It's the first year we're introducing an open call for funding for the third party events, and we'll be looking to work very closely with the promoters that we've worked with in the past 2 years to guide them through that process. So the paper sets out the budget and there's the full events programme in terms of dates and what we're looking for next year.
Welcome to the paper. I think it's very good and just a bit focused on the whole area. I'm happy enough to post a special letter. Thank you for all your work.
Kerry.
Yeah, I'd like a bit more detail, Chair, on the giant, I know we're bringing on giants at the moment, so we're here, but yes, could we get a bit more detail on that? I'd like to see that excuse me, it's a very small thing, but I like to, I know Glenn Hammond is not a big fan of this one, but it's Camel Lake, that it's down as council funded. I know there are charities down as the triathlon and the water festival. The triathlon would normally happen, the first Saturday of June. The sort of market start of the season, then you have the tenor of the water festival, which happens the second last weekend in August. So I think just a way of infusing that post, and then the most right well is you want to start the season one at the end. So that just maybe even enough today, but that's clarified because it's great to see that those are included as council funded projects, sir. I suppose it's the process how we get here. That we have, I suppose, it's an animal farm, you know, some are equal, some are more equal than others, but how we get to the point where some of the events are council funded and some are not, for example. Newry Pride Festival, sure, I think would be one of the council funded projects because certainly the Blues in the Bay, Feather Green, and the York and Flav Festival, which have been huge successes in recent years, and as I understand it, were council funded and they're no longer on the list. So I suppose, we have a list of council funded projects here, and I think they all. I can see, yes, they're fantastic. But there's others that aren't there that have fallen through the cracks.
and the process how we get here. But certainly at the moment today, sure, I'm not really comfortable passing this. There's no way to be, it's a sign of paper presented with events and money, but there's no scoring or anything like that to say how we get here. So a bit more detail on that, sure, before with, I think you know if we're in the right decision. Thanks, sir.
Sure, Eichmann, and I'm going to pass it over to Andy as well. I suppose members, it's not a paper that we've just presented coldly, it's a paper that we took to the members on Tuesday, Monday last week. So members have had the opportunity to review it, discuss it, and indeed have made some amendments. In relation to the likes of Arkansas and Bitters Green that are Blues in the Bay in New Pride, they are events that we have supported over the last 2 years by providing direct funding. We have, from a governance perspective, to be transparent in how we provide that funding, and the requests for funding have continued to roll in from other organisations. From a knowledge perspective, we need to, as I said, be transparent. We agreed that we would review that year on year, as members know, and from a knowledge perspective, we are being, it's been suggested that Noble Hall is the most transparent manner from which to actually deliver that type of funding. What I would say is that we have kept the same money, if not actually increased it slightly in that budget. We would be very keen to work with those events moving forward, and we will, following any outcomes of today's meeting, actually make direct contact with those organisations that we have previously worked with, and indeed any other organisations that feel they fit the criteria of that fund. So we'd be very keen to work with all parties just to, I suppose, assist them in the development of their events. We're proposing that call would be a very high level call, and would have to meet certain criteria, as you can see within the paper. We have worked with a number of those events in relation to economic impact assessments, etc., over the last two years. We, from a governance perspective, we would be recommending that the open call is the most transparent way to deal with this. From the point of view of more detail on the giants, just other events within the budget, any other events within the budget are largely council events, with the exception of the Ulster Pipe Band and FLA. And they're big one-off events that come to the district that will promote significant overnight stays. So we can recommend to the committee that it would be in the council for the economic impact of the work supporting those. From the point of view of the detail of the giants and any other comments, I'm going to hand over to Andy.
Chair, in terms of the giants, what we're trying to do really is create international standbys for the district and to attract tourists from outside Northern Ireland. I think from our own perspective, the giants have been a great success, our giant adventure programme. But when we drilled down into the detail, what we looked at with members last week was predominantly our events are attracting an audience from visitors from people within the district. And what we really need to do is attract visitors from outside of our district and from the south and from further afield. We've come up with a proposal for the giants, looking at working with the likes of Tourism Northern Ireland and Tourism Ireland, just to really see what would give our district stand out, and really appeal to family visitors and those visitors from outside of our own district.
Kerry, you want to go back on that?
Yeah, I mean, Chairman, a couple of points. I mean, I'm totally for, good governance, sure, and transparency, and all of it. Yeah, totally. But I mean, I take a point of it. I mean, the meeting was just last Monday, the paper was not cited in advance. That would not be good governance, that would not be transparent, sure. I still think there's a question mark over, we should have council led, but why can't some of these other things, be council led? Sort of an economic impact. But these others, have what else as good. I mean, certainly, I'd argue that we ran it at all. I thought it was a good festival, like to say, continued to the immersion. But there was the European Flat Festival ran a couple weeks before, and I would argue probably had more of an economic impact. In terms of value for money, we're going to have to bid for these things, and there's a profit element. If any of these people are going to bid for, they're making a profit. These events, you know, some of these, the ones that I mentioned, are, these are run by non-profit organizations. They don't make a profit. I think we're missing the trick in terms of value for money, and I still have a question how, I'm not convinced, you know, from the public process, how you arrive at these lists, and certain events are kind of led and others are not. Mr. Bean, paper does not have the same paper as a presenter. Does not back up any way any of these things should be cancelled.
I think when we sat down in this process at the very start, it was clear that there were set goals that were ongoing within our district and always have been. And then there was the wish of us as elected members to see new festivals in their area, and I think that's the distinct difference between them. There are festivals run solely by the council, not from anyone outside. But I do also accept that there is quite a number of festivals out there in our own district, and they do a lot of funds entirely voluntary. And I think we need to recognise that and understand that, and try to support them in whatever way we can. And I think things have got a bit protracted in how the funding is got, and then how they access that fund, and maybe the time issues with it as well, how quickly we get the money, and how quickly we can get payments to the services that they use. And I think we need to look at all of that that are going forward with it. But you know, I think we as councillors ask the officials to look at bringing festivals into our area, new ones. And the Jarrett Festival has proved to be a huge success so far. What I meant to say, Jarrett and the City of Merchants, and we'll divert in half, is what you said it is in the City of Merchants. It was the first year, and like some of the other festivals that are in the second, third year cycle, you can see the improvement year on year. And I think that as the second, third year of the other festival kicks in, that will also be the case, hopefully. But I think just the process that we carry through with, we have to acknowledge that there is festivals out there in our district and how we support them. I think we almost, in a sense, need a grading system, you know, and how they're funded and to what level they're funded. Because obviously some festivals take a lot more people into the particular area that they're in than others. And I think that's something we need to look at. I have no real concerns with the caper as such. But I do think that there's a lot of work needs to be done. I think it's an impression, Marie, that you said that part of that process is that we need to go out there and sit down with the festivals out there and listen to them as well as try to speak to them and tell them we can help them. Because they have issues and have concerns.
Sure. One of the staid members is we have been through this process for events and festivals for the last number of years. We've workshopped with members prior to the committee, as members know. We had two scheduled in the diary, one which was last week, and we'll refer the one due next week. Okay, we'll refer the one due next week. There is a very clear outline within this document, which are council events and council-led events, and that includes things like Christmas, Halloween, our giant adventures, and our activity tourism type events. We have the same, as I said, same money within our budgets that we had last year for events that we funded externally to ourselves and that are not run by council. If members want to further consider the funded element of it, we could do that at the next meeting and set them aside from this recommendation, and then we could bring a further paper back in December regarding that funded element if members would like a wee bit more time just to consider those, which would give us an opportunity. But I'm keen to get our own events programme agreed so that we can progress on and get the markets dying to know what we're doing.
I have a list of people there in the audience. In the orbit, it's me, Robert. You're next.
All right. On the hosts on the staff and the paid bond, there's 25,000 for one of the public dollars plus everything.
Chairman. Sorry, Chair, that's as a result of the request. We've set out a close group in regarding the funding need to run the event in that year. So that's the funding.
Okay,
great.
Might as well leave it, but just on the dance funding fund, Chair, I was actually delighted to see it coming in, because just after listening to Gary and Matty and sorry, the long established festivals from that there will get the benefit here, and if there's any new ones coming in at all, like, that pretty much kills the inside of us, because we have no opportunity now whatsoever. This is taking as it was before. What was happening before was the same old ones, same all the time. Yes, they did a dance and all that, and no problem with that. But that is it stops any new ones coming in at all. So we need to be careful what we do here.
And sure, that's something we can consider when we have a meeting.
But there isn't a market. There's £105,000 there, but there's not a massive amount of money. The same, all these events seem to get £10,000 each, roughly, so that's 10.5 months.
I think
Chairman
also
announced
that they agreed.
Yeah, I have the members switch off the lights. I have the list here when each member comes in. Just allows you speaking to Brian. Can you switch off the lights just a second? I have a list here. David.
Hi, Greg, sir.
A question and then a couple of comments. The budget for the St. Patrick's Day tonight between Uri and St. Patrick's Day equally divided? 80,000 each.
Sure, it's moving forward, we will certainly look at the detail of that. Historically, we have been because we have not concentrated in NI for the legacy St. Patrick's Day, but we try to make the balance as equal as possible. And as members do, where we've been growing the bridge and the event in Uri over the last number of years, this is obviously not the St. Patrick's Day, it's 2019 St. Patrick's Day, so we will certainly try to look at how to split that.
Okay, thanks. I think we had a good visit, a number of us, a small number of us on Friday to the Castle Ward. It was very informative and it was a very good day. I think that people come. One of the most interesting things about it, I thought, was the conversation we had with the manageress of the field in Stratford. And, you know, the questions she asked and the advice she gave us in terms of the visitors coming, especially because of the Game of Thrones and the impact that has on that area. I think it's invaluable to get conversations like that going with local people to find out exactly the impact that the council has on particular areas. And secondly, I was in Andalusia about a month ago. I just happened to be wearing an Ireland top. Two Scottish ladies stopped me. They direct contact with people in Kikin and just showed the impact that it is. One of the ladies, or both ladies, have said they've come specifically across to County Down for the Blues and the Bay Festival because they thought it was such an excellent event. Just showed you the impact that the things like that can happen. People will travel fairly long distance to get to events of this kind of organisation. So well done. Thank you.
Charlie.
Thanks, Chair. The suggested proposal needs to be talked to all the groups and the people in favour of that. But we need to talk to the ones that seem to be making an impact on the community. For instance, endorsed just what Gary said about one particular, I'm not been broken about it, but you can fly. They had an aspect of their festival where the dancing on the green really included the community. So when it came to the Great Edinburgh Hall and set up a wooden stage, a platform, and the Irish dancers and youngsters in the Great Edinburgh Hall area who were keen Irish dancers participated, and I thought it was one of the best pieces of impromptu Irish culture, art, throughout the district that I've seen. So, you know, we need to talk to the ones that make the impact on the community as well. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Declan.
Yes, thank you, Sean. Yes, sir. As this type of new thing, you know, rolls out, you know, I think the community has reacted to this, and a lot of people have phone calls from different organizations. But I do think there's quite a lot of confusion about this. It's sort of panicking a lot of people into it and start thinking, you know, their festival that they've been involved in. There's uncertainty surrounding the funding. So, and I don't have any reaction to propose that, but we meet with potential festival hosts that are just at time exactly old community that to explain what our rationale is and how they fit into all this. You know, for someone feeling that they've been isolated deliberately, unfortunately. And you know, if that isn't the case, we want to be knocked that on the head. And I'm a wee bit worried of an events funding call. And I can see where, you know, as we, I can say proudly said to me that certainly we get more and more requests for more and more festivals. Not maybe a bad thing, but certainly it's hard to manage. But I'm a bit worried that, could you imagine, you know, this time next year, there was the case, in fact, that the blues or the fiddles or the green actually didn't make the funding. And I have had, you know, experience with the Dollar Spectre project, the first project unit. You know, some people have been rejected there on some of the smallest minutia of detail because it didn't happen to fill some part of a sentence of a criteria. Because I thought it was too great at the end of the day a reason not to fund something. And I do think that the councillors would have lost control of this to an extent unless there's some recourse or other when it comes to a final decision whether you have fund or not. We don't have a chance of running either because that's a unit that works at all, certainly it works independently, but there's no recall or recourse for us councillors. We give them only a set of instructions to do, but if you get into the detail of an application and that has been rejected, and I've seen it, and you know, a lot of staff have said, you know, oh, that question shouldn't be in there, should never be in there, and the group has stayed. I would get it sitting here for the most time.
And all the detail of this part of the event programme was discussed next week at the meeting in detail, and we said to bring more information just to members as to how that potentially would work.
Good, that's one thing, and how that operates.
The purpose of being will be simply around the number of calls.
Yes, but how the outpourings are going to be.
Yes, we talk.
And you can't go right here at the time that you're not happy with the way some people
want to do it. We'll talk around the detail of that.
Willie.
Thanks, Chair. Mostly been covered by previous speakers. I think it's important that the major giant events goes ahead as quickly as possible to bring certainty both the tourism businesses in particular, where they can link into them to them festivals. In regards to the community-led, I think that's the word, community-led festivals, the likes of the Soulwood Festival as well. They've put a hell of a lot of effort and a lot of energy into delivering really, really good vessels, and it's like the Fiddler's Green and Blues with Ed and others. I think they're feeling a bit left out at times, where they see sort of money being given to other festivals, and I think that's what we're trying to do is get good governance in regards to that. In regards to, as we mentioned, David, the new one in the public, working with the business community, the down at the races, and I'm not against the funding of 20,000 for that. But that sort of sits out saying what we're trying to do policy wise, that we're giving the business community 20,000, and yet the summer festival see themselves as business come community organisations trying to develop a festival for Castlewell. You know, and they're sort of reading the documents and they're saying this seems a wee bit unfair, how's that happening? They're also getting a bit mixed up in regards to the council-led events, and particularly capital funding for the giant. You know, they're saying 200,000 and put into creating four new giants, and they're saying that we're only getting 10,000. That's the type of commentary that they're rolling. I think it's also that the funding was cut by Tourism NI last year. Particularly the summer festival, there's no money at all from Tourism NI in the previous year of the 20,000. So they took a hell of a hit in regards to funding. I think that's what people are sort of saying now, you know, that they're maybe a bit alarmed by the new funding approach by council, and maybe that's what we need to do. And the meetings will deal with that, and I appreciate that. But maybe on what Davey's talking about, another problem is, again, I was on the visit to Game of Thrones. It's something we really need to keep focused on, and looking at maybe some sort of festival in regards to Collymore, where the film is taking place, and yet there's nothing in Collymore to mention the Game of Thrones. You know, so I think there's an opportunity there that we could do something in the Collymore Forest Park. I think there's a good buy-in from people in regards to that. Certainly, it's bringing a lot of tourism to Stranford area. And fair enough, the National Trust are organising that approach. But that's just some of the commentary that I've sort of heard from the last meeting in the workshop. But just in regards to the Giant Festival, that is going to be, you know, the real massive festival. If we're putting that sort of investment into the new Giants and stuff, we really have to make that thing, that festival. That really has to be a real highlight for everybody. We're very excited these items, you know, and that's the type of approach.
Sure, just in relation to design to the races, that's not us giving money to the Giant Patrick businesses. That's us saying that we want to work. They're making proposals themselves around a festival. We can be the value in that. We would actually hold on that money ourselves to create some kind of activity around the races. It's not about us giving the business money, just for clarity. In relation to Game of Thrones, I think that falls part of visitor experience plans for next on the agenda.
But the need is in some sort of festival, or is
it? Sure, the National Trust are looking at their grand festival this year in Game of Thrones, and I think we need to let them do another year or so of that, and then let's see how that goes. We will stay close with them on that. We do be talking to them, and we will work with them on it.
There's something more on top of it. We're not talking about it.
Thanks, Willie. Can I take you at the end? There's a few more speakers and where you're in the room, but I will take you at the end. So, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I welcome the discussion and the emphasis on good governance and audit. And I heard Andy say there'll be 250,000 visitors and 11 million generated. Last year, at this point in the process, we had an economic impact based on each festival. Do we have that this year? Can that be copied out?
Yeah, we can share that, yes, certainly.
Okay. Because I think that was an important document. Now, looking at some of the ones at the top of that have contributed most aren't appearing this year, and some of the ones that are at the bottom we're spending not a lot more money on. I have to say as well. I have a concern, Mr. Chair, just about, it's welcome that we're spending so much money, but it's a lot of money. The budget's nearly 30% higher than it was last year. It's 300% increase since we took over this new council in 2015-16. And I'm just wondering, do we have to go into other areas of council to cut services or cut spending to finance this or that? I'm really concerned about what our race is going to look like when we go into taking a look at that next one. I also had some time back during discussions last year asked for a financial breakdown of one festival, just one festival. We're all going to go £100,000. What does that contribute to? Where's that spent? Are we spending it on bands, security, consultants? Where's it doing? I would ask that we could get that email if it's for this year, something like Victor Giant, where we're spending big money. We can satisfy ourselves, under the head of your governance and all that, but that we can satisfy ourselves as being well spent. And I do think that, I've been looking at it since the time of council, and to do a few other things, just trying to know where we've come from, where we're going to. And the ground rules in this particular item, with usually these are minor festivals, and, the ground rules seem to change annually. And they do, and they're stuck in and they're stuck out. And because they got involved in that. I hear we had a workshop last week. I wasn't available on the short notice, didn't see the papers. But that's the okay or agreed. But someone else has sat down and discussed. Why are councillors not in those discussions when we're talking about what sort of events we should be looking at next year? And I do think that there's councillors are being kept away from it. Okay, withdraw from this and we'll ask you to agree with it. But you never let me say it. And even locally on the ground when some festivals are doing wrong, I do think that in the lead up to that, councillors should be consulted on what's happening in their patch during that festival. The roads frozen, there's all sorts of things happening. And I just think that the councillors should have a wee bit more involvement. And I finished on the point of, you know, I think William was making about 20,000, for example, for John Patrick racing and having a new festival or whatever that amounts to. But that's the equivalent of four community festivals getting 5,000 pounds with the one for a whole week. I'm thinking of the festivals like Maidens of Moher, GAJ, or something. They have to go through one hell of a process. But that's four week-long festivals across the district that we could be having. That's not to the detriment of St. Patrick Racing, if that's the investment. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people out there asking an awful lot of questions about how we're running festivals and how they feel that they're not getting the first shot.
Sure, just in relation to councillors' involvement, the councillors are invited to workshops for the purposes of discussion of all events. It's us as officers who have the responsibility of making recommendations. Members do not have to accept the recommendations of officers, and indeed that was the purpose of the workshop last week. And members who were at intent will be able to advise that we've made amendments to the programme as a result of some of the suggestions last week. So those workshops are held for the purposes of members to have an input. So I think it's unfair to suggest that members don't have an input. In relation to the budget, we can certainly provide that type of information. This has been an involving process since we came into council, and I think it's fair to say that it's been an evolving events programme which has been hugely successful for the district. We've just come back off the back of a huge summer of giant adventures, and we've been hugely complimented by the council for the running of those events and the economic impact that it has had on the area. We just want to continue to grow that. As we move forward, we will review annually how we do that, and we will change how we deliver. But again, as I said, we do that in partnership with members, because we present at workshops, we make recommendations, and members can accept or not accept those recommendations.
Thanks, Mike. Brian.
Thank you, Chair. I was just interested to hear, I was referenced several times about international or festivals that attract international and that promote. And I think, yes, I would agree with that very much so. But also, if you look at the community festivals who have that as their main target, and I'm thinking about GIJ, Made by the Moors, where there is, and what more the council could do at promoting and supporting those festivals so that they can increase their international outlook and spread. And so that, because some of them are very focused on a certain time, and particularly the GIJ, with all the anniversaries around the wars and things like that. So this is the time to attract those people who train in Northern Ireland from America and other countries and draw them back and draw their families back. So I'd like to see us doing some more work on that, but also to make sure as part of what we're doing that we don't tie the group's hands, because a lot of them start to work very early in their festivals to book equipment, book acts, whatever, and they need plenty of time to get that book well advanced to know where they're going with them. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Glenn.
Sure. To Marie. At this moment, I am so deeply concerned that this event funding code is going to drop completely out of this. But what's going to happen here is going to be pretty much a closed shop on those events that have always taken place. Yes, they're very successful. Could you tell me, Marie, how we're going to get new festivals involved in this? If you're only going to consult with those that are established, yes, they're doing exceptionally well. But what's happening at the moment here, what I'm looking at, no other ones is going to get anything at all, so they're not. And the same old things, so well, might be successful festivals, but that seems to be all that's going to happen here.
Well,
Chair, we consult with talk to people that we've been involved with over the last 2 years, and because we worked with them directly, we'll take their views and feedback, and we will be coming back to members next week just to talk around the idea of an open events funding hall in more detail. I would be still recommending an open events funding hall, but we just need to have a bit more detail around that for you, and then we can consider those aspects that you're concerned about at that meeting.
Just finally, I have no issue with the open call. I think it's a good idea, but how some festivals may get on to the actual performance and put this. And one festival I want to make a comment on is the Bright Festival in Newry. The NRC have lost performing from April next year and on premises. The last opportunity was People's Immunity, and they weren't successful in that bit. The 5,000 a day gets on the Bright Festival, it runs the whole week, and then culminates in the concert. That small bit of money goes an awful long way. We're talking about economic impact, but the impact on kids as well, seeing that festival year in, year out. You know, if I had said that when I was in school in Newry, the Abbey, that there would have been a Bright Festival in Newry each year, you know, I would have laughed. There's no way I would have seen that in 10 years' time. If there's any chance of that being cut due to not being able to secure funding through an open call, that if all festivals are successful in getting this £100,000 possible, it's far too important. It's far too important of the festival and a small amount of money. If that is cost, the effect that it will have on young people in this area would be devastating. I volunteered with the group for the week after the festival, and the amount of work that they put in on a shoestring budget is incredible. So if we could get other festivals that we feel are very, very important, at least through a fair process, and they are secured on the form, and it's only 5,000. I know everyone will come from the wrong corner and say, listen, what about this festival, what about that? But yes, have an open call, but a chance of something like Gary Craig being cut would be devastating. We talk about, you know, mental health. I've went to two funerals of friends this year that lost their life to the suicide because of the LGBT community. And something like the week of that festival, even the conversations in families, the conversation from people down in the streets, it does so much good, and things like that need to be protected. It's a small amount of money, it's all right to cancel on that over us. Every year I'm saying to support them, actually stand up and do support community groups like that. So if we can get festivals like that off the list every year to protect us, you know, I think that it's a very important thing that we need to do.
Chair, can I suggest, just for clarity for the committee, amendment just to the recommendations of the canon proposer and seconder, hopefully. So what I'm saying the recommendation would be now is the approval of the schedule of tourism events and the budget, which would be subject to the race process for the 18-19 financial year. And then a further meeting will be held regarding the proposed open call funding and the outcomes presented to the December ERT committee.
Everyone in agreement? I take it that everybody is in agreement? Yeah.
I understand. I love seeing you. So we're getting the neck of my order and where we're getting off.
We're going to hold show of hands. Those in favor?
Yes,
for those against? And any abstentions? Oh, sorry, I didn't vote. I voted for. So 8-4 and 3 against. So it's carried. 9-4 and 3 against. So it's carried.
One abstention.
Who's the abstention? I don't see. Okay, moving on to item 9, the visitor experience plan.
Chair, this paper sets out our visitor experience plans. We've been working on these plans since the launch of the tourism strategy. Really, this is all about creating standout experiences to attract more international visitors into the district. We've had a number of workshops and one members back in October to set out the plans, and we've formed several cluster groups and engaged very closely with certain businesses throughout the district who are very encouraged
and bought into the process and the agreement itself. So the recommendations I said we're looking for approval of these of the framework, and then which would include going ahead and tendering for a mentoring program and from cluster groups of peers and businesses throughout the district.
Yeah, sure. Not 100% sure what the detail is now. We look more detail if possible. One of the things that struck me recently, I meant to bring up at the previous meeting back at Bringery Business Awards in the Canal Court, and I happened to bump into a French tour guide who they just spent, a group that just also is the French tourists just spent a day in their public, and we were staying in the Canal Court that night, and we're heading off to Armagh the next day, and they're on a pilgrimage tour, if you like, of the religious sites around us around St. Patrick. And I mean, it's something I haven't given a lot of thought to, but the whole idea of pilgrimage tourism, is that something we're looked into, are looking into, and you know, are getting enough of it? If there's a market there, are we maximizing that sort of thing?
Just respond. It's something that the visitor experience plans are focused on bringing market ready experiences to tour operators for next April. What we'll be looking to do, or what we are doing in the process of, is working with tourism businesses very closely, including businesses in Down Madrick, along themes that have been introduced in our visitor experience plans. And really, if those experiences aren't being sold to tour operators or independent travellers at the moment, we'd be looking to package them up and put them to market in April next year. In terms of the pilgrimage and early saints tourism, that's one of our themes on the visitor experience plan, so we recognise that as a strength of our district, and we'll be looking to work with businesses to really bring some of those packages out to market. And there has been some customer feedback to say that that's a strong element of this district, and we're looking to get more tours of that regard.
And do the walk of St. James. I don't understand why we can't do the walk of St. Patrick at the very same time. The amount of people is there is wrong way. And the tourists, there's actually a full tourist trade built on the back of that. And I would like to see more use to be made of St. Patrick.
Just one minute, Chair, there is the St. Patrick's pilgrimage walk between Armagh and Downpatrick. And that tour operators have been recently on that and given some very good feedback on that. So it's looking again, the businesses and the groups that we've been working with on this visitor experience plan, they've recognised that as again a strength of the district. So we'll be looking at, I suppose, creating more experience around that, pulling accommodation providers, tour operators, coach operators, and just how could it become an end to end experience really. So we're progressing that work as part of this.
You're right, I have done them both. And the only difference is one have to wear the coat and the arm, you need to get a friend with
Thanks,
Sir. Just on the thing of Charlie saying about religious pilgrimage, I know the cathedral is a very popular tourist attraction, and it could, you know, and the radical, one of the phrases are on it. So you could include the High Church and the Church of St. Patrick, and if we read the whole end, the Republican Valley lives in Atlanta State Church. So you're always going to visit that.
Yes, sir, I was reading through that, certainly it is an experience. It is certainly taking us where I think we should go in terms of tourism. I did notice that from the maintenance travel tour of the Council of Labour, they suggest that all councillors would have a presentation on that. And maybe it's still not too late to do that. But I'm looking to go through the next dimensions and where you're trying to interlink that going forward. Certainly very exciting. Again, I've got a question just about the clusters and how you build those up on the face, the location of them and the geographic location, who you have involved. It just actually says business, but there's no more detail on that. So I'd like just to hear more detail on, because the clusters have been doing a very important and certainly the first initial stage of this. So,
Thank you.
Well, certainly welcome it, but I'd like to give more detail.
Certainly, Chair, I think we've got a long list of businesses that we're working with at the moment and would regularly come to our workshops, and some of those businesses in their own right have formed their own cluster groups. So really what we've been saying is in the formation of these clusters is it's businesses that we're working very closely with already and are engaged in our visitor experience plans. But that's not to say it'll be an open call for all tourism businesses. We want to get as many tourism businesses involved in this process as possible. So when we go out in the formation, the formal formation of these clusters, we'll be looking at bringing in as many businesses as possible in and around that. So in terms of the presentation, certainly we could we can give that presentation to you in terms of what the visitor experience plans look like and the detail in them.
Thanks, Chair. Just to say, I suppose, first of all, the tourism industry has really bought into what the council is trying to do through their strategy and this type of approach. And I've spoken to many businesses, and they are excited about what the council is trying to achieve. I think that's important to say at the start. The workshop that was dedicated to this was very burnt on it at the workshop. I think it was over that five minutes. But it was a really, really informative session. And I think what it brought home today was what we have in our area. You know, the massive amount of attractions. If you look at the fireplace giants, Druids and Eric Sears, Castle Thrones, and theaters, we're still trying to deal with some of them. But the livelihoods and lifestyles, just even take a snapshot of that amount of visitor attractions that are available and the amount of opportunities we'll have to cluster, both business, restaurants, bars, tourism operators, getting them people all working together. Like we talked about the Game of Thrones, where the businesses are coming together and seeing opportunities for everybody to gain in this, and that's what the connected we have together across. It is a really excellent piece of work, and I know that was a proposal we accept.
Okay, thanks, Ollie. Second up.
Okay,
move on to City Culture, Belfast and Derry.
Yeah, Chair, we've had formal communication from Belfast City Council, who is leading on the bid with regards to the European Capital of Culture in 2023, in partnership with Derry and Savan, City Council, and other partners. And the recommendation is to commit formal support of the bid at this stage, and just say some resource implications. It's just supporting principle being sought.
Yeah, Chairman, we do that. I mean, we can break program and say, what's it got to do with us? But the reality is, we're not that friendly about that. So we're just trying to put this district, and we're hopefully we'll get a chance. Yeah.
Second
from Rob. Any other
thanks?
Thank you.
Certainly, I suppose in the bid process, Belfast and Down Savan will be looking at holding events outside of their districts, which would bring economic impact to those districts that where the events are being held. And really, it's really looking at support across Northern Ireland for this bid, I suppose 50% or more of the tourists base themselves in Belfast when it comes to Northern Ireland, but the regions do get significant economic impact from those tourists, so it's really going along with that line of thinking.
Okay, we've got a proposal and I've never been agreement. Thank you, Madam.
Yes,
sir. Go ahead, Brian.
I would just say, can I stop here? I agree. Because it's not an album that Jerry won the city of Cardiff. But I wasn't aware of any other areas benefiting from that.
Chair, this is the European Capital of Culture bid, which would be significantly larger than the UK City of Culture bid. But again, I suppose from Derry's perspective there, there was significant economic impact throughout Northern Ireland and even in Donegal from that in 2013. So it is something as part of the proposal for these bids that have had economic impact, and it is seen that our district would benefit in the support of this bid.
Sure.
This item seems to be restricted by the actual paragraph 3, schedule 6. This item seems to be restricted by the actual paragraph 3, schedule 6 of the Government Act 2014. Information related to the financial business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may have a resolution to be excluded during this item of business. Can I give a proposal second? Proposed, Councillor Rogers, second. Councillor McAteel. Item 11, portions of land and sea volume. 11, the council agreed that portions of land and sea volume to facilitate car parking. And that was proposed and seconded. Item 12, the council agreed to the Department of the Third Supply of Development of the East Building of Sea Volume and proposed by Councillor O'Wan and Councillor Stokes. Okay, the last items on the agenda, if I don't know, we'll go through them one by one if anybody has any questions. I mean, just the proposal and back on each one. So, item 13, the social enterprise report, the proposal and second. Proposed, Gary Stokes. David Highland, second. Item 14, European Social Fund report, proposed. Councillor Casey, Councillor O'Wan, second. Item 15, Energy Business Startup Program update, the proposal, Councillor O'Wan, Councillor Stokes. Item 16, the action flag update sheet. Proposed and seconded. Councillor Long and Councillor Stokes. Finally, item 17, the scheme of delegation. Proposal. Councillor Long and Councillor Casey. Could you say hello?